at the buzzer. McCord on its way. Oh, my goodness.
They have to get it in with no timeouts. They do.
Courtside with Cats and Coach G, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to our special NCAA tournament edition of Courtside with Cats and Coach G as we break down the South Region bracket for the 2017 NCAA tournament. I'm Andy Katz along with my co-host Seth Greenberg. And North Carolina was the number one seed in the South. There had been some debate whether or not that would occur if the Tar Heels weren't able to win the ACC tournament title. They got knocked off by Duke in the semis. So let's start at the top, Seth. What did you think the chances were that North Carolina would not be a number one seed after losing in the semis of the ACC tournament?
I think there was a chance. There's no doubt about it. I just thought that Duke had so far to go because they lost three of their last four. So, I mean, Duke's seeding and chance to get to be a number one seed was determined by them losing three of their last four. So if you're going to have an ACC team as a number one, it was going to be North Carolina, even though they beat them 2-1. And North Carolina had been consistent all season long. They do have the one quote-unquote bad loss to Georgia Tech, but it didn't surprise me. I might have had Arizona as my other number one, but I have no problem with North Carolina being a number one.
So they're going to take on Texas Southern. Mike Davis doing a great job down there at Texas Southern, getting them in the NCAA tournament. 1-16 matchup. Can we advance North Carolina?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so they're in the 8-9 matchup. These games will be played in Greenville. This is a Friday-Sunday regional. You've got Arkansas taking on Seton Hall. And I got to pause here for a second because I was covering on Sunday the AAC title game, but I did get a chance to watch the end of the Arkansas-Kentucky game. What did you think of the way Arkansas sort of handled that last minute and a half? A little chippy there.
Yeah, it was disappointing because, you know, you work so hard. You're trying to win a championship, your conference tournament championship. Players are disappointed. I don't condone that type of behavior. I thought that they were outside of the box. I'm sure that Mike does not condone that type of behavior. There's frustrating. There's the Malik Monk side story, and that stuff happens. It was dealt with by the officials, and it's time to move on.
All right, so who moves on between Arkansas and Seton Hall?
I like Seton Hall. I think they have three guys that can play anywhere. Desi Rodriguez, Kadeem Carrington, and Angel Delgado. They rebound the ball. They've got a city swagger to them. They play a little matchup zone, which could keep Arkansas off balance. I like this Seton Hall team.
I'm going to agree with you. It's sort of the eye test for me. Another team that I saw down in Orlando in November, I really liked Seton Hall then. They went through a little bit of a bumpy ride in the middle part of the season, and they're playing great basketball toward the end. So I'm going to advance Seton Hall as well. All right, now it gets a little interesting in a 5-12 matchup, Minnesota versus Middle Tennessee State. This is going to be, I think, the most popular pick for a 12-5 upset. Certainly there was some issues as to whether or not Minnesota should have been a 5 or not. I like Middle Tennessee State to do what they did last year, which is knock off a Big Ten team. Last year was Michigan State, a 2 seed. This year I got them advancing past Minnesota, a 5 seed. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Middle Tennessee State. I think that 1-3-1 zone is floating back to a 2-3 zone. They are a very good defensive rebounding team. Reggie Upshaw and Williams are tough matchups. I call them point forwards. Giddy Potts makes jump shots. I think Kermit Davis is a very good one-game coach. Now, look, Richard Pitino's done a great job with this team, but they are a great offensive rebounding team. They're a shot-blocking team. They got a physicality about them, but I think Middle Tennessee keeps them off balance with that zone.
And these games are going to be played in Milwaukee. This is on a Thursday-Saturday schedule, the first and second round. Butler-Winthrop is the other matchup in this pod. Pat Kelsey doing a great job with Winthrop. Butler had a phenomenal season. Their resume was fantastic, so I'm not surprised there are four. Did get knocked out, though, in the Big East tournament by Xavier, which could have been the win that put them in the NCAA tournament. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I like Butler. And look, Pat Kelsey's done an incredible job. He really has, and he's brought an energy and a passion, and he's a Skip Prosser disciple. Keon Johnson is terrific, and Cooks at 6'8 is kind of hybrid forward, but Butler's just better. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. They're just better.
All right, I agree with you that I'm advancing Butler as well. Let's go to the 6-11 matchup where you're going to have Cincinnati taking on the winner of Kansas State, Wake Forest. That's the first four game being played in Dayton. Cincinnati, I saw them obviously this week at the AAC tournament in Hartford. And committee chair Mark Hollis essentially telling me that the Sunday game didn't matter. And we saw that with the results of the seeding, both Cincinnati and SMU, a sixth seed. This is a Cincinnati team that's one of the better offensive teams for Mick Cronin, but really did struggle against SMU. I still like them to advance past whoever they meet, whether that's K-State or Wake Forest. What do you think?
Yeah, I have Wake Forest winning that game. Just John Collins is just so good. And I think Cincinnati, their toughness, the matchup zone, their physicality, they do a good job in defensive transition. Garrett Clark's a tough matchup. I'm a big Troy Culpain fan. Jacob Evans knocks down shots. I got Cincinnati advancing.
So Cincinnati being shipped out west, they've been in Spokane. Now they're going to be in Sacramento. The other matchup there is a 3-14 game between UCLA and Kent State. Before we talk about this, I want you to hear LeVar Ball, Lonzo Ball's father. Take a listen.
This is the best team that Lonzo's ever been on. And that's why I said it from day one, to let the coaches and everybody know. I want that X on your back so you don't have to look and say, oh, they don't know we're coming. No, everybody's right up for the game to play UCLA. You got to right. want that. You don't have to look around no corners and say, do they think we're coming? No, you know we're coming. And like to make the staff and everything believe on the stuff that I'm saying, like I told them from day one, my boy ain't here to save no jobs. He's here to go for that flag. The expectation is high with them. And Zoe is like giving them that your leader got to be that dude. If you have the best team around you and you win, okay, that's good. But can you win with a team that nobody expects to win with, makes you special?
Mm-hmm.
He's been special all his life. This is the same team that was 15-17. But now
one player.
Mm-hmm. Now everybody's like, oh, these guys are good. These guys are good. Best shooter.
And for more from this interview with LeVar Ball, that's Lonzo Ball's father, you can check out the latest SE featured podcast, Ball Family Inc., in the Listen tab of the ESPN app. Seth, before we break down this game, what did you think of what he said?
He's a parent. He's no different than a golf parent, a tennis parent. He's a parent. We just keep on putting microphones in front of his face and put a camera on him, and he's going to say stuff. And you know what? I have no problem with what he's saying. I'd have a problem with what he's saying is if his kid didn't react the way he acted. The kid is phenomenal. He's a great teammate. He plays with a smile on his face. He doesn't play with any type of arrogance. He's a terrific player. He's unselfish. Look, the dad, every parent talks. I mean, he just talks more, and we have cameras on him and a microphone in his face. So be it. Let's go. Let's go play the NCAA tournament.
Well, first of all, you know, we had Captain Obvious in our studio making a cameo the other day, and I think it is pretty obvious that one player like Lonzo Ball has made a difference in this UCLA team, and I think he will be the difference. That's why UCLA advances past Kent State. What do you think?
Yeah, UCLA is going to advance. I mean, I think UCLA is a special team. I think Kent State plays really hard. They're physical. They're tough. They're undersized. They attack matchups. But UCLA, the speed of the game, how easily they score, the number of guys that can score it, UCLA advances.
All right, let's move to Indianapolis, where we find Dayton taking in on Wichita State in a 7-10 matchup. I want you to listen for a second to what NCAA Tournament Selection Committee Chairman Mark Hollis, who's the Michigan State Athletic Director, told me about Wichita State.
Probably Wichita State, from an example of having very high metrics, but at the same time, really only had one win against another team in the tournament, that was South Dakota State.
So as I'm asking him that question, Seth, I didn't realize that, and you're always great about pointing out wins against the field. Wichita State's only win against the field was South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits, who won the Summit League Championship. So when I hear that, now I can say, okay, maybe they're better than a 10 in terms of the eye test, but on paper, now you can see why they did it. What do you think?
Yeah, you can't be speculative. Now, obviously, if you look at result-based analytics, they're terrific. They won down the stretch. They not only won games, they won them by a lot of points, but you know, you can only go on what you have in front of you, and they don't have wins against the field. Now, I think they're a terrific team. I wouldn't have any problem if they were 7 or 6, but I can see the committee justifying where they seated them. I mean, that's just the way it is, and you can't make everyone happy. It's a hard job. Seating, selecting the field is a hard job, and if you flip it and go in another direction, someone else is going to be upset. So I have no problem. I'm disappointed for Wichita State because they have a great year, but it's hard to, when you look at the body of their work and their resume, it's hard to do anything differently.
By the way, getting back to the NCAA tournament, winning the Missouri Valley after losing Fred VanVleet and Ron Baker. That's pretty impressive what they've done.
The guy's a brilliant coach. He's just a brilliant coach.
So I got them advancing past Dayton. What about you?
I have them advancing past Dayton.
And then finally in the 2:15 matchup, Kentucky and Northern Kentucky. You got the Norse? You going to advance the Norse?
I've got Kentucky advancing, and Kentucky's playing really good basketball. They've won 11 in a row and haven't lost since February 4th.
I'm just kidding. All right, so we want to remind you that you can get all the help you need with 24 hours of bracket coverage like you've never seen before. Tune in to ESPN's Tournament Challenge Marathon. The fun starts Monday at 7 o'clock Eastern Time on ESPN. Time to fill out your tournament brackets, which is exactly what we're doing here in the South region. So let's start at the top. We've all agreed so far. North Carolina versus Seton Hall. Who wins?
I've got North Carolina, and Seton Hall's a very good basketball team. North Carolina's just better. Joel Berry's got to stay out of foul trouble, but North Carolina wins this basketball game.
Agree. Middle Tennessee State, Butler.
I'm going to go with a little bit of upset. I'm going to say the matchup zone bothers Butler a little bit. I think that they do a nice job of defensive rebounding. I think that they keep the ball out of the lane. They find Keelan Martin. I think that Reggie Upshaw has a big game, and this is the one I kind of outside the box selection that I made. I went with Middle Tennessee.
All right, I'm going the Butler way, so we have one disagreement. Let's continue down. Cincinnati taking on UCLA, and by the way, all these Sweet 16 games that we're going to get to here will be played in Memphis. But Cincinnati, UCLA, who do you like?
Yeah, I like UCLA. Just more ways to score it. Cincinnati can get stuck. I do like Cincinnati's physicality. I like the matchup zone. You don't have to worry about zone offense with UCLA because they make shots and they make plays. And those are the two things that bother a matchup zone.
I agree. So we both have UCLA advancing to the Sweet 16. And how about this one? We get this again a couple years apart. Wichita State taking on Kentucky. Who do you like?
Yeah, I like Kentucky. And Wichita State's really good and they're really well coached. And Landry Shamet gets in the lane. Shaq Morris gives him a big body down low. Marcus McDuffie. It plays so hard. They play 11 guys. But Kentucky can see the finish line. And this team is playing with a greater sense of urgency defensively. I love the way Fox is playing right now. He's getting in the lane. He's making the right decision. They're establishing Bam. I've got Kentucky.
All right, so this could play out where we get a win-win in terms of Blue Bloods in some form in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four in Memphis, unless you're going to throw Middle Tennessee at me. So you have North Carolina versus Middle Tennessee State. I have North Carolina Butler. I have North Carolina advancing to the Elite Eight. Who do you have?
North Carolina. That zone will not bother them. They'll get to the offensive glass. They'll get paint touches. North Carolina wins.
All right. Rematch of the game that was in Lexington earlier this season. UCLA went into Rupp and beat Kentucky. And I'm going to say it right now, I think they do it again. UCLA on to the Elite Eight, taking on North Carolina. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think just they have more ways to score. They've improved defensively. That 3-2 zone can take you out of your rhythm. I've got UCLA winning that game.
All right. This will make the Ball family very happy, and I'm not just shilling for this SC featured. The way the brackets are breaking, I'm just going to go. I'm going UCLA to the Final Four over North Carolina. What about you?
Yeah, I went with UCLA, and I think it'll be just a tremendous basketball game.
High scoring.
I like the speed of the game. I like, but in the end, a sixth starter in Holiday, Ike Anabogu up front can block some shots and help protect the paint a little bit. At times, North Carolina can lose focus, and if Berry gets in foul trouble, that matchup with Berry and Ball could be a problem. Ball could put Berry in foul trouble. I've got UCLA advancing.
Me too. Woo! That should be something. If we get that North Carolina-UCLA game after a UCLA-Kentucky game, Memphis could be the place to be. All right, thanks for listening to our breakdown of the South region here on Courtside. And make sure you check out our shows for each of the other regions in the podcast feed. Also, be sure to stick with our podcast throughout the tournament as we continue to break it all down until a winner is crowned in Phoenix. For Seth Greenberg, I'm Andy Katz. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Courtside with Katz and Coach G. You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts. Courtside with Katz and Coach G.